joining us now in studio, and it's a real pleasure to have him in studio with us. We've had him on the phone with us a number of times, and now he joins us here in studio. Is a former assistant coach of the Nashville Predators, and now I think just Grand Poobah of the Predators. We'll just say that somewhere between David Poile and Coach Barry Trotz is where he sits, Brent Peterson. Brent, welcome to the show. Appreciate you coming and joining us.
Thanks. It's great to be here, and I'm sitting still below Barry Trotz a long way. So.
Yeah, well, you know, we just figure, you know, you can give him the business a little bit anyway.
I think they're going to call me the hockey guy or something.
The hockey guy. The hockey guru. Hockey you know, guru, the hockey guru, the hockey guy.
They don't know what to do with me, so they're just finding some kind of a job.
All right. For those that don't know, and we got listeners in Kentucky and Alabama as well, of course, Parkinson's disease. This is what you were afflicted with some 9 years ago or so now, right?
I was diagnosed 9 years ago, and luckily it's been progressing slow, and I've been able to stay on the ice. Just this last year, it sort of progressed along, so I've had to step off the ice and take another role, and now I'm the hockey guy doing things for Parkinson's research and raising some funds and raising some awareness and doing some things with the hockey team. So it's been good, and I appreciate you having me on today.
Well, hey, it's great that you came into the studio to talk about it a little bit as well. And, you know, when you were diagnosed with this thing 9 years ago, you know, you're at that time a 44-year-old guy, right? You're thinking, you know, the career has taken off with the coaching. You played many years of hockey, and now you're moving on with the coaching end of things. Just talk about what your thoughts were then, because we heard it was, of course, a totally different deal, but we heard Magic Johnson say, if I knew now what I knew 25 years ago when he was first diagnosed as HIV positive, he would have never left basketball. He would have kept playing. But did you think at that point in time your career is over, or what did you think?
I had no idea about anything. I didn't, and so I got with the doctor and researched and found out what it was all about, and then I was scared to death, and we didn't tell anybody. My doctor, my wife, and I, that's the only person that knew for a whole year. And then my wife sort of knew even before that I wasn't moving right, and she could see my arm not swinging and just little things, and she's going, there's something wrong with you, and I just poo-pooed it. I had so many injuries in hockey over the years that I just thought it was a reaction from an injury or something. But when I was diagnosed, we didn't tell anybody, and we finally told the team after the Detroit, the first time we made the playoffs in 2004, we told the team, that was a hard thing to do. That was tough, and they've been supportive, and luckily, like I said, it's progressed along slowly, and I was able to stay on the ice for 7 more years and still do my job, and that was really satisfying last year when we went and run around against Anaheim and doing those things. But it's progressed along, and that's part of the disease with Parkinson's. It is a progressive, not curable yet, disease, but we're doing research and finding things to help with the caregivers and help with the research to find a cure in our lifetime to make our lives a little bit better. And that's what I'm trying to do, is raise awareness and raise funds for Parkinson's.
You know, and I think as difficult as it is to talk about, I think to humanize it and to talk about the actual disease and as it progresses and what's coming up for you, I think it's important that people know this, because, you know, Brent Peterson, yeah, he's the coach that's got the Parkinson's. He has that great golf tournament. We'll talk about that. And it's the dinner and all those, and they shake your hand. And oh, yeah, I see him on TV. He looks normal. He looks fine, you know. And it just kind of, you know, it's there, and then people don't think about it much. But I think they need to know a little bit more about what you go through and what your life is like now, what you go through daily, and where the, you know, what are the difficulties as you live your day-to-day life.
You know what happened this year was it just got to be a point where I couldn't keep up, because it's a tough job, and we're 18 hours a day, and I don't so much shake like you see on TV with Michael J. Fox. And by the way, just a little quick story about that was my first year when I talked about being diagnosed, I didn't know what to do, and a friend of mine, Cam Neely, who played for the Boston Bruins, and now he's a vice president with the Boston Bruins. He's a good friend, and he played on the same junior team as I did back in Portland,
I'm
Oregon.
I'm a huge Cam Neely fan, big Boston Bruins fan.
Well, him and Cam and Michael are best friends. Yeah. Cam found out through the grapevine, and he had Michael call me, and I was a mess till then. And Michael we talked for 2 hours one day, and he says, he basically said, quit feeling sorry for yourself and go do something about it. So that's when we formed a foundation, and Peterson's for Parkinson's.org, and we're doing some good fundraising things. But you know, basically, he got me out of the sort of the misery of feeling sorry for myself, and it's a progressive disease. You're going to get worse, and you're going to find things progress along. And mine, I don't really shake and have tremors, but mine's rigidity in my right hand, and it doesn't move as well. And now it's sort of moved to my legs, where I have stiffness in my legs, and I can't really move very well. So it's just a chore just to do an everyday, just to get dressed in the morning and shave. And some days they need a tourniquet to stop the bleeding from shaving. But it's not an excuse, but it just slows you down, and everything you do is you have to think, and you need good caregivers, because I've been lucky. Mine's moved slowly, but other people have got into wheelchairs and moved on, and contracted other things because you're not able to fight off things. So, you know, it's a sort of a, the medications are getting better, and we're doing good research to help people deal with it now, but it's still not curable and still progressive. And so we just look, and that's one of the hardest things mentally, because it's with you 24/7. And it beats you up every day, and you just sort of, I could see if you don't have a good attitude about everything you do, you could really get depressed . So that's a lot of things to go through. So I hate to be morbid here, but it's that's the kind of things we like. Just getting a coin out of my pocket is a tough chore, and it was kind of funny. Yesterday I went to a funeral of a friend of mine in the hockey business in Buffalo, and I flew back, and we went through security, and I took my belt off. It took me 20 minutes to get it back on, and I was laughing in the airport because I had no help there, and I didn't want anybody else touching me there with it. I was trying to get my belt on. Just a little thing like that. I was afraid my pants were going to fall down in security, and so I was trying to get the belt. But just a little thing like that, doing your shoes up, just takes time, and you slow down. And the other thing, too, is the confidence you have. You never really see Parkinson's people out in public because they either shake or they feel like they don't have the courage or the ability to go out into public as much, so they just stay home, and they don't do much, and their caregivers have a long life ahead of them. But that's why I'm trying to raise awareness of what we go through, and not just the funds and the benefits we raise money for, but the awareness of what we do. And we don't do it to make you feel sorry for it, just like you say, to find out what it's all about and how the disease works. And so we've been really working on raising awareness and giving money, and we give almost all the money that we raise in all our events to Vanderbilt Parkinson's Research and the caregivers in this area, and it's really been great and a great reward. I've had great stories from a lot of people of how our money has helped them, and just to raise awareness, and people coming out of the woodwork calling me saying, yeah, my father, my brother, my sister, or whatever have Parkinson's, and we're able to help them in some way.
Michael J. Fox, of course, Canadian-born, a big hockey guy, and he's been, it's got to be 20, 25 years now that he's been dealing with this?
He was diagnosed at, 30, and he's 50. He just turned 50 for 20 years or so.
And do you think that you talk about how it's been a little bit slow in its development. Do you think your background as an athlete maybe helps you a little bit in that, because you're still in good shape and
it's mine's so random. Like, I could be on for 3 days at a time and really feel good, and nobody even notices. And then some days I just can't even get going, and I can't even get the keys out of my pocket, and it's just a long.
But
long
it's a good excuse, you know, if you want to stay home and watch a game or something.
Exactly.
It's a really good game, and you say, you know, honey, I don't feel so good here. In fact, I can't even change the channel on a remote. I think we just leave it there in a hockey
exactly.
game.
Exactly, and that's exactly what happens. There's some days are good, and some days aren't so good. And I know mine hasn't manifested itself out to be as bad as some other people that have progressed along. Like, I've had some friends there that got diagnosed after me, and they're already in wheelchairs, and they're having to have care all the time. So it's such a random thing. It's not hereditary. It's not genetic. Like, none of my family,
and your mind. Is still, I mean, is anything at all in your mind? I mean,
they've had x-rays of it, and there's not much up there, so they don't know what to do with that. But no,
that sort of frustration's got to come
from. I had 5 concussions in hockey, so you never know. Muhammad Ali had concussions, and so, or got blows to the head, so you just, there's so many things.
High rate in football, in the NFL, ex-players have a higher rate than the general public. But what I'm saying is that in your mind, you're thinking, I mean, you still think as sharp as a tech, and you're thinking, I want to do this, but yet my hand's not reacting, or I want to say this, and I can't spit it out.
That's exactly
that
right.
type of thing.
The dopamine in your brain just does, that creates your hands to move automatically and your feet to move. It's just not there, and you take medication to replace it, but it's just not as natural, and it doesn't
But you're still as sharp as a tech.
You're sharp as I could ever be. But,
yeah, right.
And that's not very sharp, but I'm as sharp as I ever be. It's just the motor skills, and like I say, it's physically, it just you can't do the things you want to do. You shuffle along. Some days I shuffle along like Artie Johnson from Laughing back in the old days. And some days I can run on the treadmill, but
yeah.
Just is so random. But and like I said, it beats you up mentally, because like if you don't have a good attitude and you don't, like I had a bad attitude for a whole year until Michael talked to me.
Yeah.
He says, just quit being that way and go do something about it. And he straightened me out. I still have some pity parties every once in a while, but, you know, you just get up and there's always somebody worse off in the world than you, so get up and do something about it.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you were talking about raising money here. You've got your golf event coming up. It's basically sold out, the Nashville Predators Foundation and your foundation getting together, which is really cool to raise money this year. So you're going to raise a lot of money with the golf tournament and the dinner. Now, there's still tickets available to the dinner. Talk a little bit about that and how people can get involved with the Petey's Preds Party.
Well, the Petey's Preds Party is Thursday, September 8th, and it's a dinner, entertainment, and auction. We have Jeff Fallon from right here in Nashville, Tennessee, a terrific, funny comedian, clean, which I like, and he's just a great guy, and he's a good golfer, too. I played with him a couple weeks ago, and he kicked my butt.
So you're still playing?
Still playing. Not playing good, but I'm still playing.
Yeah, but you got the built-in excuse. It's like Mike Heimerdinger, and he said, well, you know, if I hit it short, I got the built-in excuse.
That's right, and by the way, Mike will be there if he's feeling pretty good. So it's good. Jeff Allen, and we have reserved tables for $900, or you're at $75 per person, and you get a great meal, you get great entertainment, and you get to listen to me, and we also have some great guests. Brian Grant from the NBA has Parkinson's. He talked last year. He's coming to say a few words, and Ben Petrick, if he's the next Major League Baseball player who has Parkinson's, and they have some unbelievable stories, and it's really going to be a fun night. And then our auction is Rebecca King at the Predators has put together an unbelievable auction. We have like 250 items. So we have 50 of the top players in the league jerseys signed by Ovechkin down to the last player in the league almost. We have 15 guitars. We have all kinds of trips, and it's going to be just a fantastic night. We have an auction item for everybody that can all values of auction items. So it's going to be a great event.
$900 for a table, $75 for a ticket. Now, if you're a season ticket holder, you get a discount, $100 off on the table, and $65 is what would be your ticket price. If you are a season ticket holder, you can go to NashvillePredators.com /golf, which I think will also lead you to the for the dinner for the Petey's Preds Party, because the golf is pretty much locked up, and that's one of the ways to get in to the event down there. What number would they call if they want to buy tickets for Petey's Party?
I don't even know.
All right. Well,
770-2321.
All right. 770-2321. Okay. There you go. That number, they can just tell them you want to reserve tickets.
We have a couple other things going on. We have the diamond raffle. We have a diamond. We're just going to raffle it off to the winner. And then we have a thing called, I don't know whether I can say this on the air, we have Petey's Balls. And we have everybody.
Petey's Balls,
100 balls. And they're all with a prize. And you buy for $100, you buy a ball. And at the end of the night, you could get anywhere from the least you're going to get is a $100 gift certificate somewhere up to a big screen TV for $100. And so Petey's Balls went 17 minutes last year, 100 of them.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool.
That is very, very cool. So plenty going on there. And what are they telling you as far as the hopes for being able to get a cure? Because, you know, regardless of how it impacts you the rest of the way for you, you know, we have kids and we have and you want to leave a footprint. You want people to know I did something to help something down the road, and that's what you're doing here with the foundation. As these donations continue to be made, you know, what's the hope for a cure?
The hope for a cure is very, very good, because they're doing some great research right across the country, and especially right here at Vanderbilt Parkinson's Research. We have some unbelievable dedicated doctors that are spending their whole lives researching and doing stem cell and doing all kinds of research they can take a graft of your skin and turn it into a stem cell now of what you need. And so the things they're doing are unbelievable. The things in medications, like my medication over the last 8 years have changed quite a bit. It's helped me be on, or instead of being, I call it on and off. When I'm feeling good, I'm on, and when I don't feel good, because they'll get them off, and just the level of your style of life and they've really helped with that, and it's going to get better every year, and they need funding, and I know just our little tournament alone funds two researchers to do a job for a whole year of research.
So nice. How much money have you raised over the years? You got a figure, a feeling for that?
Yeah, we started the dinner just 3 years ago, and that really added to it, and we had the golf for 5 years. We're around $500,000 total.
Wow.
for the last 5 years of the golf, but it's going to be bigger and bigger every year because we went from the factory, which we held like 400. We're going to have 850 at the dinner, and we have about 150 tickets left, so get them up, and we'll have 850 people and 56 teams playing golf at Legends the next day, and we'll have a great time.
All right, before we let you go, let's get a hockey question in here with you as well. The Shea Weber situation, obviously, it got a little bit sideways. I don't think people understood exactly what happens there. They think that because the low ball offer of the team and the arbitration, I don't understand that that's just a set of floor. They weren't negotiating at that number.
No.
What is your thought? Now you get $7.5 million for the year, and he's worth every penny of it.
Yeah.
What is your thought of them being able to possibly get a deal done long term that might be a 7-7, 7-8 or something like that type of deal and lock that young man up for a little bit?
And I think it's very important that we do that because then Suter will
fall in and sole the goalie. I think Pecorine will be in there, right?
Right. So that Shea Weber is very important to us. He's certainly our captain. And I think it was just a matter of Shea changes agents and things got a little bit haywire. And he certainly is worth every penny that, you know. He's not all about the money. He's all about winning and doing all the things. He just wants to make sure there were some problems with different length of contract and all these things. So they ended up at arbitration. When you go to arbitration, it's not the price that they were talking about. I mean, I'm sure that our negotiating crews offered him way over what the arbitrator ended up being, but they had to set a low and they had to set a high. So I think that if Shea wants to be here, we've offered him fair market value for what he wants to do. If he wants to be here, and his agents, they're doing the things that they have to do for his side, and we're doing the things they have to do to protect the Predators. But I think that when all shakes down, we should be able to get all three signed if they want to be in Nashville, and I know they do because they came up through the ranks. And it's just a matter. It's such a funny game. You know, everybody wants to have a piece of this and a piece of that, and agents want. You know, they don't care about. They care about getting the most money for the player, and the player should be telling them, I want to be here, and then all the non-taxes in different states are...
Well, how strong do you think the Canadian pull is for Shea? Because, with Suter, I mean, he's American, and with Rene, he's not going to go back over there and play. He's going to stay here and play. But with Shea, we got a different dynamic. He's a national hero in Canada.
Right.
And a Western Canadian besides. I mean, do you think, can you keep him through his prime, or do you think he wants to go win a cup somewhere in Canada?
Well, he does want to go, not in Canada. He just wants to win a cup somewhere.
So he's cool. You think he's good? I mean, we know him enough to interview him, but not like you know him. You think, he really does dig Nashville, and this is a place where he'd, under the right, bring in some offense, bring in the right, put the right team around him. You think he'd just as soon stay here for a career?
For sure.
Cool. Because you can't overcome if a guy wants to leave.
And you know what? We will not ever let it. Like, if he went somewhere else for, let's say, $7 million, there's no way that we wouldn't match that kind of offer.
Right.
So that would mean that Shea just would want to be here. So we would always give him what he'd want if he wanted to be here, and same with those other guys. But, it's just a matter. I don't think he knows where we're going yet because of our, but we had to get Shea signed, and everybody else falls after him.
Right.
So Shea's not looking at that. He's looking at getting the most money he can now. But that's just the way they are. They have to do that. They have to take care of themselves. But he also wants to know where the organization's going. And I think his agent either gave him some, I shouldn't say poor advice, but maybe not the advice that we would like to have him give.
Is he a hockey guy or his agent? Because when you look at that, when you look out there in terms of what was available on the street and what was available as free agents as far as goals, it's not like, you can go get an Ovechkin or a Crosby or a Malkin, and who knows when Crosby's ever going to play again. These guys, it wasn't like there was some tremendous amount of offensive players out there for the pick and said, I would have wanted to spend some of the money that some of these guys got. Even the money that's Joel Ward money. I love Joel Ward. He was a scrappy player. Joel Ward's not worth that kind of money,
not
for that kind of term.
So no, you're right in all the things you say, but there's so many dynamics that went into it, and this is our lead guy, and we Webbs has said all the right things, too. He does want to be here. I talked to him, like, before the draft, and Trotsky's talked to him a couple times, and Shea doesn't beat around the bush, and he's not a liar, and he doesn't just say things just to keep us, to appease us. If he didn't want to be here, he would have said, well, I don't know whether I like it, whether I might just do this and that. He says, I want to be the captain of the Predators, and he's told both of us, you know, one-on-one, that he wants to be here. But, you know, then he has other advisors that he has to go to and listen to. So, and they're saying the money side of it and the year side of it and all these things and what's going to happen in 2 years and what's going to happen in 3 years. And so there's so many dynamics that it didn't get done, but I think it can get done. I think it could get rectified. And I think we certainly would need Shea Weber to lead us and the other two guys to fall into place. And then if we had those three guys locked up for even 3 years, we have a good chance to fill around them and be a real solid team.
Tell them what's going to happen about 2 years. Ryan Ellis is going to have about 28 power play goals, and you're going to and Blake Jeffrey is going to be skating all over the place.
See,
and
we could talk
Colin
about
Wilson's
that.
Another, gonna, Colin Wilson's
going to need another hour to talk about those because we have good guys coming. We have good players coming, but these three guys, of all the guys we've ever drafted and developed. These are top three guys. These guys are already there. They're big stars. Those are the guys coming. Could be, probably will be. But these three guys have already done it, been there, done that, and shown us.
And you know what? They need each other. Again,
they
it's
do.
Not a shot against anybody else. But Shea Weber is a different player when Ryan Suter's in the box, and
so
Ryan Suter, you know, and flip flop. They need each other. They work together so well.
You're right.
As teammates, that they don't want to get none of them want to get hung out to dry.
And Pekka is and everybody's.
Pekka needs
him.
Man.
I listened to a couple of shows with you guys and then the other shows on the air, and every three calls, one was to say trade Weber, the next said trade Suter, the next said trade Rennie. So everybody has their opinion.
Yeah.
But I think
we say trade Chris Johnson.
I say that all three are needed. You know, you can't have one or two of them. You need all three because they're sort of our core.
Yeah.
And if you trade one, you're still okay, but you're not as good as if you had all three. Pekka Rinne, I think, is close to being the best goalie in the year, best goalie in the NHL, and I think he's going to be because of his attitude, because of his work ethic, because of his athleticism. He's just a
And he's 10 years younger than the other two guys that were in the finalists for the Vezina.
Exactly. And he's going to get better, and he's got more experience. He got great experience last year. He's a key guy. So, and Webbs is key, and of course, Suits makes Webbs go, and Webbs makes Suits go. So we need all three of them. So let's just hope it gets done.
All right. Brent, I really appreciate you coming in and talking about the deal that's coming up as well. Petey's Preds Party is coming up Thursday, September the 8th. You can still get tickets. About 100 tickets remain to the dinner. They're up to, going to seat about 800 people at this deal. Jeff Allen, comedian Jeff Allen, will be performing there. It's good, clean fun for the whole family. You can go on down. They're going to have a great auction as well. Dinner, the entertainment. It's going to be held at the Bridgestone Arena. $900 for a table still for a corporate table if you want to snag a whole table for the family, whatever. $75 a ticket. For the tickets, you can go to nashvillepredators.com/golf or call them at 615-770-2321. Those of you listening in Alabama and Kentucky, believe me, it's worth the trip to come to this deal. This is going to be a star-studded night. A lot of the guys will be there as well, I'm sure, hanging out.
Yeah, all the
players.
All the players are celebrities, and then some lowlifes like me and a few guys like us. So, but we're going to have Jimmy McKenzie. Some of the ex-players are living in town and play, so it's going to be great. And they're all going to be at the dinner, so it'll be great.
Tell Trotsky to stop dyeing his hair and his mustache and his goatee. It's okay to look your age. You know, I'm there. I know. You know, and every time I see him on there, I can't believe he's younger than me because he looks like he's older than me. So he just needs to let it go.
He's looking pretty
good, baby.
These days.
He's looking good. That's absolutely right. You know, we love him. Win or tie. So it's a 2 points or 1 point. We love
him. No more ties in Augie.
All right, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's been great here.
All right. That's Brent Peterson joining us. We went long there, but that's okay.